So welcome everyone to this blessing on the 20th of May, 2012. Today is actually a very auspicious day in the cosmos, with our planet. There is an amazing annual solar eclipse Sunday afternoon. That's today. And I can't tell you exactly when the times are for you in your time zone, but I have here an email from our Bishop Dale Meissen, who is our most recent Bishop of Spiritist Church, and he's been doing a lot of research for us on this, and he says that it is happening in Central Daylight Time at 3:30 p.m. The eclipse is a perfect eclipse, which is unlike any you may have seen in decades. It will last approximately 4 hours from start to finish. So our blessing today is going to enter the energetic fields of that eclipse. But it's not just an ordinary eclipse of the sun. Let me tell you something about it. At its middle point, our Earth, the Sun, the Moon, and the constellation Pleiades will be in perfect alignment. This particular alignment only occurs every 25,626 years. At the same time this is happening, the Pleiades constellation, which consists of seven stars, seven doves, seven sisters in Taurus, will come into alignment with the sun from behind. That's seven suns aligning with our sun, moon, and earth. What's more, the central sun or star of the Pleiades, which is called Alcyone, will perfectly align with our sun. And I know it's amazing to think of this, but Alcyone is at least six times the mass of our sun. This also comes into direct alignment over the Chichen Itza pyramid, which is the temple of Quetzalcoatl in central Mexico. This is the Mayan Indian pyramid that was built over 1,000 years ago, and it faces westward in direct alignment with the Pleiades central sun, Alcyone. During the time of this annual solar eclipse, as the moon passes in front of the sun, there will be a shadow of a snake slithering down the nine levels of the north side of the Mayan temple, pyramid temple in Mexico. So it doesn't mean that it portends to anything negative, but it is an ancient symbol with greater significance than we've ever been able to explain before. Because now, with all of our astronomical knowledge, we can truly understand the significance of this event that happens every 26,000 years. And this is part of the extreme significance of the year 2012, which will not be culminated until the 23rd of December, later on this year. But we are actually entering the portal of the energetic field of the Great Transition of the Ages now. And the Great Transition of the Ages has been talked about since time immemorial, literally, since before there was recorded history, at a time where history was only erected in stones and monuments and told from generation to generation through legend. At times when this has happened, when events of this magnitude have happened, disruptions have also happened in the physical planet. That's not to say that we expect any of that this year, but there could be some of it, especially with regard to super solar flares, which are already happening. If you want to read about that, buy the latest copy of National Geographic. It's the central story in National Geographic this month, which is talking about the major solar flares. And part of it is happening because of this extreme magnetic alignment that has galactic implications that add to the whole power of our magnetic field. Now, as we move into the Earth has her own magnetic field, and we, as human beings, have our own magnetic field. And this is what we're going to be discussing in our class later today, the heart of your being, that quantum center that helps to balance and recalibrate the magnetic field of your life, your being, and your ability to align with the planet, with others, and with your creator. And so this is really the subject of the day, the subject of the age, the subject of particularly of this profound and transformative year. We don't know exactly what will come from this year. I'm not expecting, and certainly I'm not looking for political or geophysical upheaval, but you have to remember that when in the ancient days, when they would view something that would be a change for the whole world, that was like the end of an epoch, they would call it the end of the world. We are approaching the end of an epoch. And I think most of us would say, hallelujah. Boy, am I ready for a new one. And when it happens, it will happen as is actually said in the scripture, in the twinkling of an eye. It's almost as if something spinning in a circle passes its completion of the circle seamlessly and is into the next circle, except in this case it's going from, we're spiraling. And we're going from one level of spiral to a larger level of spiral. And when we cross the seam, you could blink and miss it. You won't notice this, notice the changes immediately, probably, but you will notice them soon. Just like I think all of us who've ever been married anticipate the event at the altar as being this moment in time which changes everything, and we walk to the altar, and then we walk away from the altar and say, well, what happened? Nothing changed. Well, give it a year. That's all I can say is give it a year. Because what will happen when you, every time when you enter a new epoch is your priorities change, your values change, your ability to coordinate with the world changes. Your energy level changes. Everything ultimately changes from the core of your being and in the outer connection with life. Same as when you have a baby. Well, you look for the moment and you say, well, isn't he or she just the most precious thing I've ever seen? But I don't notice any big changes. Well, give it 2 weeks. You know, so we don't know exactly what will happen on the 23rd of December, but we know that we are now passing the portal into the phase right now, today, and we are blessing that event. So I really ask our blessing givers today to join me in giving the blessing. This is an extremely powerful time for us to join. All of you who are receiving the blessing today, allow it to just penetrate and filter into the heart of your being, expecting only the best, expecting only the love that you are to be ignited, and the infilling of spirit for the very best and most awesome positive result, to bring about transformations, realizations, healing and changes that may even be unforeseeable to you now, which you're perhaps not even able to account for in the immediate coming days, but they will be there. You will notice them. So let's spiritually hold hands and join hearts today as we embrace this moment and this opportunity to be bringers of love, holders of light, the ones who hold the candle for others who cannot yet see what's happening, or perhaps who fear the worst. Sometimes at the end of an era or the end of any epoch in our life, we feel a sense of letdown, a sense of loss. But that's really because we're clinging to stories. It's the stories that we've used to give value to our life, not the true essence of how we've lived and what we've lived for. This is a time when we must bring our stories to a close. It's not a good time to start new ones. It's a good time to bring closure. And I don't mean ending businesses or ending relationships or ending chapters in your life, but summarizing them, looking for a greater meaning, a central purpose, a continuing higher theme that runs through it like a golden cord. Look for those things that connect whatever you're doing in life to a higher purpose, a higher meaning, a central balancing fulcrum. So often we ride on the seesaws of life. We fail to realize that at the center of any seesaw is a fulcrum that simply doesn't go up and down. It just is what it is. It permits us to have the experiences of up and down while being a constant in our life. So that's what my prescription is not to judge or prematurely end things that don't need ending, but perhaps to minimize the up and down and to end some of the dramas that have circumscribed the experience so that you can find the central balancing force and balancing principle in that which you do. Today, we're given an opportunity to have a brief blink of the eye so that we can reset the system and be better prepared to move into the coming days and months and to be freed of some of these drastic up and down stories that would make arriving to December far more challenging than it has to be. So let's embrace the moment. Let's look for the presence of now and the sacred moment that this day offers to us. And I would like to, we do have a caller online, and I'd like to open our call line. So just give me a second here. Fred, you are on the call.
Hello?
Hello, Fred. I can hear you.
Oh, good. I had one question when you started talking about my heart and being.
Mm-hmm.
I had signed up for that, and I never received the dial-in and the code to get it. Is that
okay,
impossible,
Fred,
at this point?
I am so sorry. Actually, you were sent that, but I'm going to resend it to you. It came in under the subject of welcome to the heart of your being. Now, it's possible that a few of you thought it was just another promotion, and you clicked it down since you were already enrolled. So you may find it in your deleted folder, or it might have gone into your spam filter, I don't know. But watch for that. It will be called Welcome to the Heart of Your Being, and I will resend it the minute we get through with our blessing today.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Anybody else who did not receive it, please let me know so that I can send it to you again. Okay, we have a caller from Ontario. You're on.
Is that the code 647?
Well, I can't give the code out on an open call.
Oh.
Do I need to send you an email as well?
No. It's just you, when I call in, you always think it's Canada, but I'm calling from New Zealand.
Oh,
for a question.
It does say Toronto, Ontario on my queue here. But anyway, you're on, so welcome.
Thank you. My question is, did Yeshua give any particular advice for a technique to stop the mind from creating illusionary dramas all by itself?
Yes, he did. We're going to be talking about that on our course today.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the mind gets into sort of like a runaway train from create, and it really all traces back to the fact that we're living our life as stories. We create stories that get, that offer explanations to our life. We did what, when, and therefore this happened, and someone else is playing out the story with us, and therefore, and this.
Yeah.
Well, the story's not really working for us the way we wanted it to, so the mind will create an alternate story. And the mind gets into creating these alternate stories, when really the answer is to look at life as something that is far above all stories, that does not need any story to explain it. One of the great techniques is meditation. Another is prayer. One of the things we do in our blessing is to take you to the center of your being. We have an excellent program by my husband called Psychogenesis, and this helps to remove imprinted turmoil that is in your subconscious that keeps coming up through your mind. It reinterprets as new stories. Sometimes we need to get to the basic pain that is within our turmoil in order to relieve the stories. So sometimes that is a cause, in which case psychogenesis would be a wonderful relief for you and actually solution. Just quieting your mind and realizing that the answer does not come from any story, whether externally created or mind-generated, is the basic principle, and we'll cover more of that in your class today. And I guess that's about as far as I can take it right now without taking our whole blessing course into a class.
Thank you.
But it's a very good question because I know it's an everybody question.
Yes.
So we have a caller from area code 210, and you are on. Hello?
Hello. Did you say area code 210?
Yes.
Okay. Glenda, this is Don.
Hi, Don.
Howdy. How are y'all today?
We're doing great.
Super. Glenda, I have a question about forgiving. Can you talk to the point of forgiving one's self? I have no trouble with the forgiving, understanding others forgiving me something that I did to them, if that's mm-hmm. their desire. Or am I forgiving somebody else for something they did to me? But forgiving myself is a bit of a challenge for me. Can you talk to that point?
Well, actually, Don, that point is very, very similar to the one I just addressed about the mind creating stories. Because if your mind keeps replaying the story in which you let yourself down or you disappointed yourself, it'll just keep coming up to haunt you. And so, again, the answer lies in fleshing out the stories of your life. Because, really, you have never betrayed yourself. It's only the character you played inside a story that let you down. And this is really what Yeshua was referring to when he said, in order to find yourself, you have to lose yourself. He was talking about losing yourself in terms of the characters that you play inside stories, the father, the husband, the engineer, the teacher, the son, the whoever, the role you played inside a story is what let you down. You never did. And so the first thing you have to learn is the difference between you that you are and the you that played characters in a story. And that was Yeshua's central, one of his central teachings, is you must lose yourself from the story in order to find yourself that is the Son of God. So it's not it could be a quick process of letting go of these stories, Don. Could be a very long, arduous process. But those of us in this class are going to learn how to do it very quickly, because we need to right now. If you didn't get in this class, I would really encourage you, when you're ready, take the online archived webinar, because that's exactly what we're covering now. And it's a very important subject. I hope that helped, Don.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Julie, we have time for your call. I see you're on.
Yes, this is Julie.
Hello, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I am signed up for the class this afternoon, and I realize that my email address has changed, and my guess is it's too late for me to go in and change my profile. It's the same as it was before, but the two-digit number has changed. Can I just give you that number?
You sure can.
Okay, the number should be 4-1 now.
The number should be 4-1.
Yeah, exactly the same.
I'm sure it'll be obvious when I see your email address.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
I sure will do that.
Okay,
all right, thanks
for
getting on the call. And in the future, please, all of you know, please know that we are diligent about getting all of this information to you. And if you don't receive it within a few days of your course, be sure and call our office, because that means something's wrong. Could be wrong in our system, but it's more than likely that you clicked it down, or it landed in a junk mail folder or something of the sort. But we are always happy to resend it or give it to you directly over the telephone in our office. I just can't give it to you on a public call. So I'm very sorry about that, but I will send follow-up emails to everyone who let me know that that was a problem. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Okay, we have one more caller here from area code 727.
Hello, Gwenda. It's Eve.
Hi.
How are you? I just have a quick question. When you talk about the role that we play in a story, does that relate to, in the scripture, when it says to die daily, is that referring to the death of the ego? Does the ego play the role, or am I not understanding that correctly? And I'm going to go ahead and mute the call.
Well, often, yes, it is the ego that plays the role. But, you know, I think we need a better definition of ego. Because so often the ego is described as sort of a defense mechanism, that which we cling to defend ourselves and assert our self-importance. I'm an attorney, I'm the parent, I'm the leader, and so forth. Actually, a role can be anything, and it doesn't always conform to what we traditionally call an ego. But the scripture is definitely pointing to this issue I'm talking about. To die daily means to let go of the roles we play, because the roles we play are pure, not just secondary, they're tertiary compared to who we really are. And this is what Yeshua was referring to when he said, you know, you need to leave your family. You need to leave your mother, your father, your wife, your children. Now, he was not teaching his apostles to engage in abandonment. He didn't mean for them to not take care of their earthly affairs, their earthly duties, or to not be a dutiful son. He meant to no longer be the archetypal son who inherits the family business and feels obligated to do so and guilty if he doesn't. That's what I mean by story.
Mm-hmm.
Story is basically a timeline with a plot, with an antagonist and a protagonist, and other players that relate to that plot. Watch a movie and you've seen a story. Any player in that is a character in the story, even if it's a somewhat neutral character that you would not associate with an egotistical presence, even if it's just a supporting actor or actress, they're still playing a role. It's all got to be recognized. So it's a big subject to step outside the roles we play, Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essential. It's essential because the only thing that's coming down as the world changes are the stories. And you must learn to step outside the story in order to be at a higher plane where you can receive the new revelations and the new unfolding, the new opportunity, the new light, the new bliss, the new blessings. That's what we're preparing for. I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, it looks like we have just about aired all of our callers, and we are at the turn of the hour. So let's all prepare now to be in our blessing. For once, we actually will be on time. I'm going to move us into a true mute mode so that we will have silence. Simple silence is really what's called for. I would like you to address the significance and the power of this moment with your feet bare on the floor, or even preferably if it's warm enough on the ground, so that you can draw in this incredibly powerful magnetic energy from the earth, moving into this awesome alignment with the solar system and the galaxy today, to cross the threshold as an antechamber before we enter the temple in December. Drink water, take your last drink of water, be hydrated, be seated comfortably with your head erect, nothing covering your head, and allow the top of your head to point upward into the cosmos. Be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit from above and below through this powerful magnetic alignment that will magnify the presence of the Holy Spirit in your being. Now, I would ask that you stop all thought. Now, it's often hard to stop thought when you say stop. So instead, shift your attention into the silent chamber of the heart. Just allow your attention to shift to this inner place of peace and silence. Be with God, and then enter the prayerful state as you know it, whatever that is for you. Be in a state of prayer. It's all right to pray for things, to want things, to ask for things, ask for a healing, for abundance, for revelations. And I pray that you be given all the desires of your heart. I will open with an invocation to Yeshua, who will be there with you in your heart, with all of us, with the earth, conducting this most powerful and precious energy of the Holy Spirit from God to man, to the earth, back to man and to God. May the angels be with us. And may all who care and are here to guide us into our higher transformation be with us and be with our presence perfectly as we enter this moment. I ask that our blessing givers all stand with me and offer the blessing with me on this very auspicious occasion. Be in prayer for 3 minutes, and then when we are complete, go and rest and just assimilate. Let us begin. Beloved Yeshua, the one who walks with us through sunlight and darkness, through happy moments and sad, who helps us to find the constant in our life, the true center of our being, and to know ourselves above and beyond all the stories that we live. We ask that you bless us in all aspects of our life, that you cleanse us, and that you open us for the greater blessing that is being offered by the Creator, by the Holy Spirit, and by all of life at this moment. Help us to receive in the pureness of our true being the love that we are, that from this receiving we may inform and distribute the blessing to all levels of our body, heart, soul, being, and life, that not only our own life shall be made better, but the lives of all we touch, of all we enter into communication with, may be touched and healed and blessed according to their ability and willingness to receive. Thank you for all you have given and all that you now offer for our most perfect receiving. Amen. The conveyance of blessing is complete. Now go and rest, assimilate, be quiet, be still, be with God, and know that you are very, very deeply loved and very deeply received into the heart of God. Bye-bye. Until next week.